When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learnt about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." He replied, "You give them something to eat." They answered, "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd." About 5,000 men were there. But he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of about 50 each." The disciples did so, and everybody sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to set before the people. They all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. Well, Jesus feeds 5,000. 5,000 men, nothing to eat. Jesus takes 5 loaves, 2 fish, breaks them up, feeds 5,000. That's Jesus, job done. But you see, with this passage, there's something which I found remarkable and which I think is amazing, which is that this miracle, apart from the resurrection, is the only miracle to appear in all 4 Gospels. So that led me to the question, why? Why, out of all the miracles, is this the miracle that all the Gospel writers record? Why this event? It is remarkable, but is it any more remarkable than all the other miracles that Jesus performed? Well, Luke and the other Gospel writers would have us say yes. Because here is Jesus, surrounded by his people. And in that verse 17, it says, "They all ate and were satisfied." Here are 5,000 people, and they are satisfied. It's just bread and fish. Now, as those close to me will know, I wouldn't be keen. But they're all satisfied. And isn't that what we all long for? We long to be satisfied. Each and every one of us has things that satisfy us. It may be your Sunday lunch that you had earlier. You're still feeling satisfied. When I visit the White House, and I enjoy a Sunday lunch, I don't have to eat again until Tuesday. But maybe it's something else that satisfies you. Maybe it's the phone that you have, the car that you drive, the house that you live in, the number of friends you have on Twitter face. What is it that satisfies you? And Luke, like the other Gospel writers, wants us to know that Jesus is the one that satisfies. That whatever else you're looking for, whatever else it is you're seeking, unlike the Rolling Stones, you can get satisfaction because that comes through Jesus. Luke wants us to recognize who Jesus is. Luke wants us to know that Jesus is the one that everybody needs to know. He spends his gospel proving that Jesus is the Messiah, proving that Jesus is the one that everybody needs. And for us this evening, the key word is satisfied. The title of the sermon is "A Meal That Satisfies." And hopefully this evening we can unpick that a little bit more, because we catch a glimpse of the kingdom. And we see a Jesus that satisfies expectations. We see also that everyone will be satisfied. And that also, because I couldn't fit the word satisfied into this one, that the mission will be provided for. So three things then, that Jesus satisfies expectations, that everyone will be satisfied, and that the mission will be provided for. So Jesus satisfies expectations. We can read earlier in Luke's Gospel that people start to question who Jesus is. And then straight after this, Peter says Jesus is the Messiah because he talks about who the crowd say I am. They say, replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life. Those questions are around in people's minds. People are asking those questions of who Jesus is. And here in this short passage, people will see that Jesus isn't any of these people. It doesn't say in Luke's gospel, but this is a desolate place, a wilderness. That's not much of a tourist attraction then for the village of the town called Bethsaida, because the other gospels describe it as a desolate place. But the surrounding countryside is desolate, a wilderness. John the Baptist, a voice crying out from the wilderness. Here, unlike John the Baptist, Jesus is telling them about the kingdom of God. Not that the kingdom is near, but that the kingdom is here. So Jesus is more than John the Baptist. He speaks about the kingdom of God with authority. So is Jesus the new Elijah? In 2 Kings chapter 4, we read of another new Elijah, Elisha. Turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 42, to a passage entitled in the NIV, Feeding of 100. A man came from Baal Shalishah, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread, baked from the first ripe corn, along with some ears of new corn. Give it to the people to eat, Elisha said. How can I set this before 100 men? His servant asked. But Elisha answered, give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over. Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. Elisha, through God, was able to feed 100 men with 20 loaves. And there was some left over. Jesus takes 5 loaves, 2 fish, feeds 5,000 men, and has basketfuls left over. Jesus is more than a new Elijah. Jesus is so much more than that. If we thought feeding 100 men with 20 loaves was amazing, imagine how amazing it is then to feed 5,000 men with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. Luke's point here is that this isn't a new Elijah. This is someone who is so much more. This isn't Elijah returned. This isn't just a new prophet. This is somebody else. Somebody even more powerful. Someone with even more authority. Well, then it must be the new Moses. Somebody given the job of rescuing God's people. And so, again, their thoughts and our thoughts turn to Exodus chapter 16. The whole Israelite community set out from Elim and came to the desert of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month, after they had come out of Egypt, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt, There we sat round pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. On the sixth day they are to prepare what they bring in, and that is to be twice as much as they gather on the other days. Here, God's people needed feeding. Here, in Luke's gospel, we find God's people needing feeding. But Jesus doesn't have to go to God to get that. Jesus makes it happen through the power of God that he has, being the Son of God. He takes 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he provides everything that these people need. So he is so much more than Moses. Because, as Luke wants everybody to know, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. This is the one that Isaiah writes about. This is the one that in Isaiah chapter 55, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. This is the Messiah. This is the Son of God. This is God's chosen one. This is the one person who will bring salvation to his people. And so Luke wants us to see that Jesus satisfies expectations. He wanted the disciples to see, and he wants us to see. So when we talk about Jesus, is that who we see when we talk about him? Do we talk about Jesus the Messiah? Do we talk about Jesus the Son of God? Do we talk about Jesus the one who has all of this power, all of this authority? Is that how we treat Jesus in our lives? Because Luke wants us to know that that's who Jesus is. Because Jesus satisfies the expectations. Jesus isn't just some man, some prophet, some person given a job by God who will disappear and another one will come along. Jesus is it. Jesus is the one. And as we move on, Jesus will be the one who will make sure that everyone will be satisfied. That everybody that calls on Jesus will be satisfied. Here we have Jesus calling his disciples to him when they return and wanting to withdraw to a place by themselves. See, the apostles have returned, buzzing with excitement probably, of all the things that they've done. Cast out this demon here, healed this person over here. Jesus, you should have been there. And Jesus wants to withdraw with them. He probably wants to hear all about it. But of course, Jesus knows what's going to happen. He's about to teach these disciples another lesson. You see, people hear about Jesus and they flock to him. They come from everywhere to hear him. They learn he's about and they follow him. I wonder what happens when someone asks something of your time. I know what happens when someone asks something of my time. There's that little bit of frustration, isn't there? There's that little bit of, really? I've got other things to do. I wonder, as we work together in our community groups, whether we feel like that. And what does Jesus do? Jesus welcomed them. The Son of God, the Messiah, instead of being irritated because they've sort of interfered with his plans, he welcomes them. He doesn't just welcome them. He speaks to them about the kingdom of God. And then he heals those who needed healing. Jesus is the Messiah, yet he is the one who welcomes them. He is the one that speaks to them about the kingdom of God. He is the one who heals those who needed healing. Where we might assume that Jesus just wanted a rest and to hear what the disciples had to say, instead, he does what Jesus does. He knows what his purpose is, and he talks to people about the kingdom. Really, he's meeting their spiritual needs, isn't he? He's talking to them about the one thing that he knows is the most important, and that's the kingdom. And he heals those that needed healing. And this is the wonderful thing about this passage, is because it gives us a glimpse of the kingdom. It gives us a glimpse of what it will be like to finally be with Jesus in heaven. We will know all about everything. We will sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to him about the kingdom. There will be no more sickness. And no one will be hungry. Now, sometimes the disciples get a kind of a bad deal, don't they? But they're the ones that are concerned. They come to Jesus and say, "Send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here." So there's a little bit of concern from the disciples for all these people. But Jesus replies, "You give them something to eat." Oh, hang on a second, Jesus, that's not going to happen. One of the other Gospels talk about the need for a lot of money in order to pay for enough food for all of these people. We don't have that. We have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But Jesus says, "No, you give them something to eat." And so that's what the disciples do. Through Jesus, Jesus gives thanks. He breaks the bread and the fish into pieces. And the disciples take it to the people. And Jesus feeds them. And they are satisfied. And there's something left over. A couple of years ago, as part of the year in the school, we decided to take the children to watch an open-air passion play. So we were there all day. We moved around this country estate from one scene to another scene. And we came to this scene, the feeding of the 5,000. And there the performers, through trickery, got their 5 loaves and 2 bread and started to put it into baskets. And miraculously, suddenly, as the baskets came round the crowds of people watching, it was full of bread. And the children sat there calmly and had the bread given to them. No, they didn't. They went like complete animals and started to grasp out for the bread. "Throw it to me! Throw it to me!" And they threw the bread to them, as many people as they could. But there was always those children sat there going, "I didn't get any. You got 2. I didn't get any." See, it's not possible. In this world, without Jesus, to satisfy people. See, that's what was missing from the play. Jesus was missing. Jesus is the one who can turn 5 loaves and 2 fish into enough food for 5,000 people. And not just enough food that everybody has enough. You can imagine, no one felt like they had to maybe share some of theirs because somebody didn't get enough. There was enough for everybody. You see, Jesus meets our basic needs. As Simon was talking about the other side. In the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." Jesus meets our basic needs. And in the kingdom, we will never be hungry. These people, they were satisfied. How long for? An hour? A couple of days? Till Tuesday? Eventually they would be hungry again. They would need to eat. And like I say, this is only a glimpse of the kingdom to come. But Jesus fed them and met their basic needs. What are our basic needs? And do we believe that Jesus will meet them? Do we worry about money? Do we worry about food? Do we worry about having enough money to pay the bills? As we meet together as a church, as we come together as community groups, do we feel that we can share that burden? As a church, do we come together and support each other to make sure that people meet their basic needs? Well, we try to through our giving and our gifting to the church. That's one way of coming together and doing it. As Graham preached a few months ago, it's important to take a look at what we're doing and saying, are we doing enough to support other people? And lots of people are. Lots of people are giving far more to the church than probably they keep back for themselves. And that's wonderful, because that's one way of providing for each other, but also providing for our brothers and sisters across the world who are in difficult situations, who are hungry, who are in danger, who need our support. And this is what Jesus is preparing the disciples for. Because yes, Jesus provides for our basic needs, where everyone will be satisfied. But the disciples will one day soon be without Jesus. And they will have a seemingly impossible mission to tell people the good news, to preach to people about the kingdom, to tell people that Jesus is the one that they need, the one that satisfies all their desires. And here, Jesus is preparing the disciples for that. Here, as he gives them the task of feeding the 5,000, what's left over? 12 basketfuls of broken pieces. 12. Nothing happens by coincidence in the Bible. And here again, this is no coincidence. One basketful for every disciple. Jesus has only just sent them off with nothing. And here Jesus is teaching them that I will provide for you. That your mission will not be hindered because I am with you. See, he's doing this to show the disciples their responsibility. The responsibility they'll have when Jesus is gone. But also, Jesus is highlighting their inability to do anything without him. You give them something to eat. No, only got 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. And Jesus is showing them that actually one day I won't be with you. But your job will be to feed my people. Those disciples are to bring the word to people. And Jesus will be there with them. Jesus will provide them with everything they need. And what does he provide them with? He provides them with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment, all those disciples bar Judas Iscariot, are given everything they need to carry out their job, to carry out their task, to carry out the mission that Jesus gives them. And we today can see we've gone from 12 disciples to 2 billion followers of Jesus. Jesus says that I will provide for you. That through me, you will be satisfied. Now we might think, well, that's great. Everything I do now is through Jesus. So all I have to do is go and tell as many people about Jesus as possible, and they will become Christians. That's how it works. As long as I tell them, then they'll become Christians. That makes you feel quite good, makes you feel quite important. But Jesus is saying that's not the case. These people will not become Christians because you tell them. They will not become Christians because you do things for them. They will not become Christians because of anything that you do. They will only be saved because of Jesus. They will only be saved through Jesus. And we might sit there and think, great, just sit down. No need to invite anybody to Cafe Nero. No need to talk to my neighbours, because everybody will be saved through Jesus. But again, we know that's not the case. We know that we're called to work for Jesus. That we're called to bring people the message, the word. And although that might be scary, although that might trouble us, although we might worry about it, Jesus provides us with all that we need. And how does he do that? Well, he's done it through the cross. Does this ring true? Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and he broke them. We turn to the Last Supper, where he gives thanks and he breaks the bread. You can imagine the disciples sitting there later on, putting all the pieces together through the Holy Spirit, realizing what Jesus was doing, what Jesus has shown them, that the delight, the joy that they must have felt when they realized that Jesus is the one, that Jesus has saved them on the cross. And then through the Holy Spirit, they were given the confidence to work for him. That's fine for the disciples, but what about us here this evening? Well, disciples, you have the same Holy Spirit in you. So when we leave here and we have to talk to a family member, or when we go to work tomorrow and we have to talk to a colleague, Jesus is with us. Jesus provides what we need in order to bring the word to them. What's the worst that can happen? In this country, at the moment, a bit of embarrassment, maybe some persecution at work, you may lose your job. But if you did lose your job, I would hope that there are a number of people here that will be there to help you out. That's interesting, isn't it? Do we think like that at the time, at that moment? That Jesus has provided a church of which you are a member, that if you did and were to go to work and to talk to people about God, and suddenly people turned around and said, actually, that's not on, out the door. Suddenly you've got to pay a mortgage. Suddenly you've got to look after your children. Suddenly you've got to look after yourself. That we're surrounded by people who are called to love each other and to help and support you. It all fits together. And it's a glimpse again. You, this evening, are a glimpse of the kingdom. Jesus provides all that we need for the mission ahead. And if this evening you don't know Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God, I wonder what it is that you are seeking. And I would encourage you to talk to someone this evening about the fact that Jesus is the answer to everything. That Jesus is the one that satisfies. That Jesus is all that we need and more.